to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White, and joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Kind of mid-deep summer, you know, kind of time frame.
Something like that.
Nice to be recording some fresh episodes.
That's what everybody wants to do on summer vacation.
Exactly. Record podcasts. Exactly. Stay inside, close the windows.
I'm excited for today's conversation. I have a former life in politics, having been hired to work in politics back when I was young and foolish. And I kind of like when our marketing podcast intersects with today's geopolitical reality, and it always makes for an interesting conversation. So I'm excited for today's guest.
Well, they are interesting times.
Yes, always.
Probably never less interesting.
I could do with some boring times. Like, let's sign me up for some boredom, please.
Accurate. I'm not really sure that's going to happen, though.
No.
So, looking forward to getting into it. So joining us today is Alexandra Corey. Ali is the Director of Marketing from Mosaic Manufacturing. Welcome to The Cooler Ring, Ali.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you on the show, and I'd love to learn more about Mosaic Manufacturing. What are you all up to at Mosaic?
Yeah, so Mosaic's an additive manufacturing company. Essentially, we build 3D printers. We're based out of Canada. We've been around since 2014. Most people who are familiar with the 3D printing space will know Mosaic for our palette products. So Mosaic really was a pioneer in multicolor, multi-material 3D printing. Palette itself wasn't actually a 3D printer. It was an add-on to 3D printers. We really pioneered that space and set the groundwork for what is now today a pretty common feature, multicolor, multi-material 3D printing. The founders, there's three of them, they realized that where 3D printing really could make a huge impact on the world was in the B2B space, and that was the direction that they wanted to go with their products. You know, multi-color, multi-material was becoming pretty commonplace in consumers' type printers, but B2B was sort of underdeveloped in some of the areas that they saw Mosaic adding value. So they launched the Element printer, standalone desktop size printer, really unique for its high temperature capabilities. So it can print industrial materials like PEEK, PEX, CF nylon, things that are typically difficult to get in a printer of that size. And then most recently launched our Array printing platform. So Array is an automated 3D printer. It's actually comprised of four elements that are controlled with an industrial gantry and intelligent software. So it really enables people to take the value of 3D printing, remove the labor intensity, and scale up operations. So it can be something that really works in a manufacturing environment.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's an exciting space to be involved in. And Ali, I wonder how long have you been with the firm? How did you end up there?
I've only been with Mosaic for about a year now, but I'm not new to emerging tech. So I started with the company in September of last year. Prior to that, I was working in Silicon Valley for an augmented reality company. Sounds pretty different, 3D printing, augmented reality, but there is a lot of overlap, actually. In many cases, it's about shortening supply chains, quicker access to prototyping, design iterations. And from a marketing perspective, you are not only selling or educating somebody about your company, you're also educating them about a new technology that they've potentially never heard of. So it was really fascinating, actually, to see how much overlap there was between those two industries. Prior to that, I had my own agency for about 10 years, sold that, and then moved over to the augmented reality company for a new challenge.
And that's an entirely different conversation we could have about what it's like to go from running your own agency to being inside of a B2B manufacturer, but we'll save that for another time.
Yeah, I don't think Ali wants to be our therapist, Jeff.
No. But maybe we could be hers. You never know. We've probably seen some of the same things.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, blind leading the blind.
Yeah, exactly. I think folks, if our listeners have a bit of any kind of a crystal ball, and they're connecting the dots between my earlier commentary regarding geopolitics and the fact that your 3D technology enables rapid scale and decrease in labor requirements, et cetera. They can probably connect some dots there and surmise that we might be talking about tariffs a little bit as part of this conversation. So, admittedly, we've talked a little bit on the Cooler Ring about tariffs already, but more just how marketers ought to be thinking about the opportunity that they present more writ large and what it might mean for driving awareness in new markets and the requirement to open up new markets. What I love about your story, Ali, is that that's you're kind of it's a much more kind of a hands-on approach to how you're actually reacting to the situation in real time. So I'd love to understand and have you take us through the dynamics there. How is Mosaic, how are they thinking about the ongoing evolution of the tariff conversation, and how is it impacting your go-to-market?
Tariffs are an interesting one for us because we are both victims, not the right word. We are both the subject to the impact of tariffs as a business. Obviously, we are made in Canada, but we have a lot of customers who are in the United States and around the world. And at the same time, we are a solution to the tariffs because, in particular, our array system, we call it a micro factory sometimes, it does allow people to localize their manufacturing, and it allows them to do it very quickly. We can be up and running in 48 hours or less. And so customers are coming to us because they are trying to find an alternative to parts that they have traditionally sourced overseas. You know, lots of plastic parts coming over a ship from China can take a long time to get there, can get very costly. Those are the kind of things that you can very easily 3D print. And with our automation and array, we've been able to do that in such a way that unlocks scale. So we're coming at it from both sides of the story. And I think that gives us a unique perspective in really understanding what it is our customers are going through, but then also being able to help them navigate it.
That makes
from a go-to-market. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, now I'm interrupting you because I think you're just about to answer the second part of my very, very long and winded question. So maybe, thankfully, we can break it up into two parts. I'd be curious to, you must have seen that initial bump about supply chain disruptions requiring more localized manufacturing. I mean, that sounds like a COVID story if ever there was one, but I don't know if the array technology was available at the time of COVID. So is this something you've experienced and kind of capitalized on before, just it wasn't tariffs, it was kind of through another lens?
The array didn't come out due to COVID, but COVID really put supply chains on the map in a way that they hadn't really been a part of a mainstream conversation. I think, you know, manufacturers are always aware of and thinking about supply chains and where things were made and coming from and tariffs and all of these types of things, but you weren't talking about it at a dinner party with your friends and family. And all of that changed, obviously, during COVID. And so Array was, very much being developed at that time. And it doubled down on the need for it, not just as a way for people who are already 3D printing to be able to scale up their operations, but also for enterprises across the board to be able to get around some of these disruptions that we see more and more frequently in our currently globalized supply chain network.
The thing that I'm wondering is, you know, obviously 3D printers at scale allow organizations to create parts or, you know, all kinds of different things in-house and avoid tariffs for themselves, but you're still competing, or Mosaic is still competing against manufacturers of 3D printers who may be in the US and would not necessarily be subject to tariffs when selling to other domestic companies. How are you thinking about and going after those organizations that are looking at Mosaic as a Canadian produced product?
Yeah, so the key thing really for us is automation. One of the reasons that 3D printing isn't always as readily adopted in manufacturing for true production versus prototyping, which it's been used for a long time for, is because there's a limitation to scale when you consider the amount of manual labor that's involved in 3D printing. You need to manually load your filament, change your print beds, monitor all your prints. If you have one printer going at a time, obviously there's volume limitations for how many you can have at one time. So what Array really allows manufacturers to do is to remove the labor requirement, increase the throughput, and then actually have true lights out manufacturing with 3D printing. So if you're an American and you're looking to purchase an American 3D printer, yes, you're going to avoid tariffs, but you're going to need to buy 5+ printers to do what one Array can do. So that's where that cost benefit comes from adopting an Array, which just allows you to scale up your production that much more effectively.
What a lovely little competitive advantage to have, or a lovely large competitive advantage to have.
Nice piece of technology you've created. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. You'll have to come see one sometime.
That's a fine idea. I guess I am curious about how you're messaging this and how you're going to market with it, because I think a lot of manufacturers that operate cross-border, especially those that are based in Canada, are kind of struggling with how they talk about tariffs, or even do they say the T word, or do they wait for the prospect to bring it up? What, So I guess, help me just unpack that a little bit. How have you, what has been your strategy for this, and how has it rolled out thus far?
Yeah, so firstly, I would say that the tariff conversation is part of our marketing, part of our messaging, of course, not everything that we're pinning our messaging to. So it's just like every marketer can attest to, we've got many different facets to target different niches within our industry, different pain points that they're experiencing, and this is one of them. With respect to the conversation around tariffs, we aren't in the position of telling manufacturers what their challenges are and that we have all the answers and what it may be, but we want to be able to be a resource for them as they are taking this journey in the same way that we're taking this journey. And so what we've really tried to do is create resources for them to understand how to leverage 3D printing, the technology that we offer, to get around tariffs. So we created a playbook, a guide on how to implement additive manufacturing into your supply chain. We have a lot of customers who are coming to us and saying, we kind of get it. We know it's a good idea, but where do we even start? What's the next step? And so we created a really, really intuitive step-by-step guide. If you're looking to adopt additive manufacturing, not even just us. I mean, we have FFF 3D printing. That's where you extrude filament out of nozzle, build up your product layer by layer. For some companies, they're not going to necessarily need that type of 3D printing. They might need metal versus polymer. They might require something that's a different process. We gave them the whole guidebook, including or excluding Mosaic, so that we can be a trusted source for them and a trusted advisor in navigating this current landscape. Another thing that we found is everybody's struggling with this right now, and getting smart people in a room to talk about it and share ideas is something that has really helped us be part of the conversation and part of the solution. So we've actually been hosting a series of events in our Toronto office where we partner with another manufacturer. We had a really cool quantum computing company. We had a really cool humanoid robotics company, another one in AI. And then we invite a lot of local manufacturers, although we did have people fly in from different states and countries for these events. And we just host a panel. We get people talking about it. We share the solutions that we have, the challenges that we face. And that has been hugely impactful just to start creating a network and a conversation around this challenge that people are facing right now.
I have to imagine that the notion of, in some organizations, if you were to go to the C-suite and say, look, we're going to go to market as the company that talks about the benefits of creating your own parts in order to avoid tariffs and be able to achieve supply chain resilience and all of this, but we're also going to do it and say, you don't have to buy our stuff. You can buy other people's stuff. Like, that creates an incredible amount of trust with prospects and existing customers, I think, to be willing to do that, but is maybe a hard conversation to have with the executives that you're not necessarily going to be continually pushing Mosaic's own products. Did you experience that, or was that kind of in the back of the minds of the folks that you're working with already?
Firstly, I think you hit the nail on the head with something, which is what we're really trying to do is build trust in a very volatile landscape where it's difficult for people to know what's coming next. We want to be a resource that can be trusted. I think with the events, that's building trust. With being really transparent and attempting to be unbiased with our suggestions, that's building trust. And in 3D printing, at the end of the day, we can talk about different types of printing, but if you need metal printing, not polymer printing, you're not going to be coming to us. So it's not so much of a challenge in terms of like, are they going to pick one of our competitors? Like the hope is that if they're looking for polymer FFF additive manufacturing and we've put out the resource, they're going to come and speak to us. That being said, something that Mosaic has really built its brand on is really fantastic support and expertise and customer service. And so we're willing to take that risk to find the customers that align with that value and are a good match for us. And so I think we've seen more benefit from it rather than people going elsewhere. And hopefully we continue to. But I think, building relationships in B2B and manufacturing is just so important. And I think that's one of the good ways of doing it.
Do you get the sense, or have you tracked any data around the prospects that are engaged by that type of the type of content that are not ideal for you? Like, do you have any kind of estimation as the extent to which you're simply serving to educate the market and being nice people versus driving meaningful B2B leads? Like, and I don't even say that pejoratively or negatively. I'm more just like, you know, should people expect that if they take this more liberal approach to
holistic,
altruistic,
altruistic.
They should expect X percent of just general market education type of people. I'm kind of curious if you've peeled back any of those numbers.
If we have a wide enough data set of the kind of content that is potentially like very neutral or promoting other types of additive or what it may be. But what I can tell you is we have seen our organic traffic increase fairly substantially because we're plugging into the kind of conversations that people are already having. We're not trying to steer them away from the tariff conversation. People are already searching things to do with how tariffs impacting manufacturing, what Canadian businesses are doing to get around tariffs. And rather than trying to avoid that conversation or direct it the way that we necessarily want it to go, we're making ourselves part of that conversation and as an extension of that, being able to capture some of that audience.
That makes sense to me. Any negative reactions so far?
I wouldn't say anything that's concerning, but something that we have done is we do, like I said, building trust, people first, connections, and so on. So we've been doing a lot of great videos of our CEO in particular, a bit of a face of the company, talking about the impact that he has seen on our customers as a result of the tariffs. He's been doing his own podcast, speeches at universities where he's referenced this topic. And there are people who are maybe not as strong believers in additive and where additive has gone. They still think about it as like the prototyping technology of 10 years ago. And so there will be a pushback. What I often find with the pushback is though, maybe they are pushing back, like I said, on what they believe additive is based on where it was at 10 years ago. And it's come so far that we just have to keep working and educating that market.
Yeah, it's not pushing back on the tariff narrative at all. It's more kind of foundational than that.
On the belief that additive can be a solution to the tariff situation. And it's never entirely going to replace a globalized supply chain. But if you're paying, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on a piece of that supply chain that can be replaced with additive, then, you know, why not?
And Allie, do you feel, based upon your experience and having that kind of executive leadership support for this messaging, do you feel, I guess, how critical do you feel that is if you're going to go down the road of leveraging a more geopolitical topic for biz dev gain, if you will, which seems a little touchy potentially? Is executive leadership kind of carrying that message a pretty key part of that, would you say? Is that a part of the playbook that you would not want to lose?
I think it was very much a top-down decision to lean in on this messaging. Also, we've got a very close-knit team. I think Mosaic has a very clear and concise vision. So across the company, we were all aligned with this being a good opportunity for figuring out where we can add value to the conversation. But the other side of it is the messaging almost came to us in the sense that that's our customers came to us for these solutions. These were the stories we were able to tell. These were the use cases. I mean, these are the case studies that we can talk about when we're talking to prospects. So yes, there was the side of, with touchy things like this, I think you need buy-in, because if it goes wrong, you don't want it to be coming at a left field for people in the company. But at the same time, it very clearly revealed itself to us as a strong message that we could associate our brand to, because we are already the solution for it. And then I think we have a unique perspective because we're impacted by it as well. We're not standing on the outside saying, hey, do this, do this. Life is so hard for you. We're the solution. Like, we're living it. And we can also provide some support there.
I have to think, too, the, you know, part of what you're fighting against is not just the notion of, you know, trying to get people to understand the appeal and the importance of 3D printing within the supply chain, but you're also, you know, within this environment, this uncertainty that we're all dealing with, you're trying to counter the resistance of people to actually move ahead with something and make a decision and do it now, rather than wait and see how things are in a year or say 3.5 years.
Or 3.5 days or 3.5 weeks. I mean, it changes so fast.
Yeah.
It's easy to see how that would scare you into some level of paralysis, eh?
Absolutely. That's definitely a piece of it for sure. There is a lot of hesitancy on behalf of businesses everywhere to make major decisions that are going to impact their production line because, to your point, things are changing so quickly. I mean, when you look at setting up a local facility, a local manufacturing facility, typical like CNC, all of the costs associated with tooling, like this can be multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. It can take weeks at a time to do. If a company invests in an array, it starts at about 85 to 100K, depending on, what you're looking to get with it. And you can be up and running in 48 hours or less. And the Mosaic team will work closely with our customers, not only to just like show up and install a machine, but to actually understand the business and figure out where you're going to get the best ROI from your investment. So like if you're already spending approximately this much on the additional costs incurred by tariffs, and then you can instead invest in a solution, it de-risks that decision to an extent. And the longer you wait, the worse that ROI is going to be for you. So if you can make a decision, if you can do it confidently, if you have somebody who's going to back you and help you get the most out of your investment, I think that, you know, that has a lot of value compared to just waiting to see where the market's going to go, what the next decision is going to be made.
It's a compelling argument.
It is. And I think, you know, the tariff situation may evolve, it may change, it may go away. What doesn't go away, though, is supply chain volatility, supply chain disruptions. We've seen it from pandemic. We've seen it from, ships being blocked in the Strait of Hormuz. All kinds of different things that can cause supply chain disruption. And it would seem to me that the messaging around supply chain resiliency, regardless of tariffs, would have to find some purchase.
I mean, from climate change to your point, the shipwreck, the Suez Canal, labor strikes. I mean, those are becoming more and more common. So these are things that manufacturers have been dealing with for a long time. I think that the tariff just creates the financial urgency now that you know is happening. You don't necessarily know when the next hurricane is going to happen. It might not, but you know that your costs are tripling with tariffs, maybe more right now. So it's that urgency. But the problem is there, and it's going to continue to get worse probably.
Not particularly sunny.
We're not here to try to make you feel good, Jeff.
No, I know.
But I mean, the flip side to that is that while the problem's getting worse, the technology is getting better. You know, we're developing far better automation technology. We have things like additive manufacturing. We have the ability to open factories locally much more effectively than we could have before, thanks to this technology. Labor is getting a lot more affordable as a result of it. So it's the problem's going to be there for sure, but there's so many more opportunities to turn that into a solution each and every year.
Ali, as we bring this show to a close, I must say it's been a really fascinating conversation. It's been really interesting to understand more about what you and Mosaic are doing here. I wonder if you can give us a glimpse into how you're thinking about the next 12 to 24 months. Any evolution that you're imagining in this approach, anything that you're keeping your eye on that is going to dramatically impact your strategy?
From a product perspective, we're really focused on reliability. So, I mean, that's not a dramatic change. We always have been, but a lot of time and investment has gone into making sure that the technology is incredibly reliable, incredibly easy and quick to deploy. Something that is impacting our strategy for sure is just really looking at the defense industry. The United States defense industry is the single largest adopter of additive manufacturing across the world. They are adopters of additive manufacturing. That hasn't changed. What has is individual countries' commitment to their defense operations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to open a lot of new opportunities for us in that industry. And, you know, it's really just manufacturing things that are, you know, focused on sovereignty and national welfare and so on. But there's a lot of places for our technology to plug into that world. And especially with our focus on industrial high temperature applications, it makes a lot of sense for us, and the budgets are just going up. So that's definitely a place we have our eye on right now.
Good time to be in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. Ali, thank you for sharing your experience with us today. Like I said, it's been lovely to have you on the show. Really appreciate it.
For having me.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.